From Lena Versi Athletics, this is the Burn 'Em Up podcast. Burn 'Em Up is brought to you by McDonald's. And now let's join your host, Carmen Lastoria and Philip Tang.
And we're back with another episode of the Burn 'Em Up podcast. Philip Tang alongside Carmen Lastoria. This is episode 4. And as always, we are brought to you by McDonald's. Carmen, first week where everybody was on the road, we had a little chance to recuperate. Now this week we look ahead and soccer is back at home.
Yeah, should be another exciting week. We are in the middle of Gulf South Conference play. So the Flames got off, we'll talk a little bit about this, but the men's soccer team got off to a great start. Two big wins on the road at Union and at Christian Brothers, and what a victory it was. Yes. On Sunday against Christian Brothers, finding that game-winning goal from Mark Eamon there with, in the 89th minute, so basically at the buzzer. So big start to the Gulf South Conference season for the Flames. They're 4-0-1 on the year. Lady Flames got a nice win against a Union on Friday. Two more goals for Ellie Chrysler.
She's up to 8.
8 on the year, so one of the national leaders in goals scored. A little bit of a disappointing draw, conceding late there on Sunday. So 3-0-3. So Lady Flames remain undefeated. They have not lost in over 2 years, but we're going to see more ties with no overtime in the regular season. We've talked about that. That's yes. A new rule. Generally, we love the rule because it keeps players safe. It keeps them fresh, especially when you get on a Sunday. That's a back end of a weekend, two games there. So, but you are going to see more ties. That's just the nature of it now. And so, still a solid start for the Lady Flames. Volleyball team, a bit of a rough trip down in Arkansas, but they're going to look to get things going as the season really begins now as they get into conference play this weekend. And they'll go out to West Tennessee to take on Union and Christian Brothers. And women's golf team underway. We'll talk about that.
Today.
And men's golf is here in the house.
They start their opening tournament next weekend down in Dahlonega. Start the year number one, deservedly so, after winning the national championship last year. That poll came out earlier this week, and so we're joined by Connor Pullman, one of the members of the golf team that won that national championship. Does it kind of still, Connor, seem like surreal that you guys won the national championship, even though it was now about 5 months ago?
Yeah, for sure. It definitely does. I mean, that is a such a big accomplishment, and I think the hardest thing just been recentering our focus headed into this year and just trying to do our best, get better, and have a chance to do it again next year.
Yeah, Connor, that was such obviously a special moment. I was had the privilege of course being there and covering it, and just to see the way you guys stepped up, you in particular. I mean, take us through your mindset that entire week, because athletes sometimes just get on rolls, and it's a thing of beauty to watch. Michael Jordan in the finals, this type of Tom Brady in the playoffs, right? Like, it just seems like certain athletes rise to the occasion, and no matter what's up against them or what circumstances they're facing, they find a way to get it done. That felt like kind of your guys' mindset, but you in particular, did you feel like maybe even at the beginning of that week, like, I don't know, I'm just, whenever I need a big shot, I'm making it. This might be our week. Did that ever cross your mind early in the week, or were you just fighting to get to the next round?
Oh, really? I mean, they just kind of kept building on one another. I feel like I've had some moments maybe throughout the year where I didn't come up so clutch, and I had to spend a lot of time, reflecting and kind of just figuring out what do I need to do better to handle those moments better. And I just kind of felt like throughout the week, through the stroke play, quarterfinals, semifinals, they were just a lot of different moments that I handled really well and, stayed in them. And, it's such a long mental week. And I feel like that was, kind of how it went for me, like was just, building on one another. Beginning of the week, it's easy to have those thoughts like, a little nervous,
sure,
a little uneasy, but just all the hard work, preparation, and you gotta have a lot of belief in yourself to do something like that.
One of the cool things about the NCAA tournament is the format. So you have your traditional stroke play for 54 holes, and then the top 8 teams then advance to match play. And folks, that's when it gets really exciting. If you've ever watched the Ryder Cup or the President's Cup, I mean, match play is just a different animal. So that was just fun to watch. I mean, there's just so much more emotion, I think, that takes place when you're playing head-to-head. So take us through, you know, your emotion there on the final, in the championship match. Nothing settled yet. I mean, we're in a pretty good spot, but nothing, you know, the hay is not in the barn yet. And so you were down the whole match to one of the best players on Oklahoma Christian's team, and somehow you find a way in those last three holes to rally. And then on the 18th green, I've got the video of it, folks. You've probably seen it. But that putt you hit, okay, about a 10-footer right after he rolls in about a 40-footer to save par. So you've got to make that to win the match. And you go up there and you just drill it. I mean, take us through those final three holes.
Yeah, so both of us got off to great starts. I mean, I think that we were both like 3-under through four, and he birdied six. So, you know, kind of a birdie fest right out of the gates, and then kind of slowed down a little bit. I made a couple mistakes and was kind of just a couple down. I knew that I was three down to him, but I don't check the leaderboard or anything like that when I'm playing. You know,
Coach just Carpenter and I were checking it enough for everyone. So
yeah,
refreshing every 5 seconds.
Yeah, something I kind of quit doing a couple years
ago. Probably a good thing. Yeah,
I quit checking the leaderboard because all of those things, you know, just don't matter really until right. You know. So I had no clue where I stood, or I had no clue where everybody else stood, but I knew where I stood in my match. And Evan actually came over to me, and you know, he was kind of on Dustin duty for that round. But you know, he came over to me and I was like, Dustin's either getting killed or he's doing the killing. And so Evan wouldn't even tell me what was going on, so I figured Dustin put the hurting on him.
He was putting but yeah. Dustin was yeah. doing the killing, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Well, I was gonna say, you mentioned you don't really pay attention to the scoreboard, so you don't really know how well your teammates were doing, especially when we got into that match play, or do you try and know how Dustin and other people were doing?
No, yeah, so I don't really pay attention to that, just because, I mean, honestly, if I would have pulled up that leaderboard and saw, like, you know, hey, those three guys behind me are you know, doing well, but I still need this point, it just kind of adds that pressure yeah. element. So, I mean, there's certain times where I've checked it, but, you know, I just feel like it just makes you more nervous, so why would you do it? You know, you're just out there playing golf. You know, it kind of makes it seem a little bit less stressful if you don't keep up with that. But yeah, those last three holes, I mean, I just was like, I mean, usually you three down with five to go, you're done,
right?
Like, you're done. Yeah. And really, he didn't make any costly mistakes. Like the 17th hole, he hit a good drive and it bottlenecks up there in the fairway. Like, I mean, I thought he was in play. And get up there and he's in the water.
Right.
And so I think the best thing that I really did was when the opportunities were there, I took advantage of them. And that last hole was wild. I kind of like popped up a hybrid on the last hole and had like 250 yards into the par four, which is, you know, way too long. But, you know, I was able to kind of recuperate. And, you know, I thought once I hit it out of the bunker onto the green that was it.
I did too. That's the best part about that whole scenario yeah. is like your mental fortitude and toughness to think you had it locked up.
Yeah.
And then this kid, credit to him, such a great player, rolls in a 40-foot putt, folks. And now all of a sudden you've got to make yours, not just two putt from 10 feet, but you've got to make it to win the match.
Yeah. I mean, to be honest, I was sitting there with Evan. I'm like, God, I just hope I can two putt this. and then we're like, oh wow, we have to make this.
Right, right.
So I mean it was tough. You know, it's everything you work hard for, and you know, it was very rewarding, but you know, we're excited to, you know, go do that again. I think that if anything, that was just motivation, like, let's go do it again.
Tiger Woods, man. I mean, he was Tiger on Sunday. I mean, it was, and I'm not just saying that because he's sitting next to us. It was a thing of beauty. They all were, though. I mean, it was a total team effort, certainly, which made it all the more special. I mean, he referenced Dustin, who had a roller coaster. You talk about mental toughness. I mean, Dustin had probably, you know, by all accounts, according to him, one of his worst rounds, and then he comes back with literally shoots, I think, a 68 in match play to score a huge point for us in the national championship, so... Man, what a moment.
Yeah. Where does that course kind of rank in terms of toughness compared to some of the other ones you've played on? last year?
So out of the courses we played last year, it was it's a little bit different. So, you know, we were playing up in Detroit. We play most of our golf down here. So, you know, kind of in the Tennessee, Georgia area, we don't get probably as much wind. We see it a little bit in Florida, and, you know, we see it up when we play in the Midwest. So the wind kind of was up, fairways were tight. I'd say it was probably second or third toughest golf course we played. I think Innisbrook's probably the hardest one we play. It's a PGA Tour course. So, you know, we'll be playing that one in the fall as well this year. So,
a couple quick questions, Connor, before we let you go. Number one is, you have all the, of course, the emotion and the excitement of being national champs, and you ride that wave, you know, forever, but you ride that wave certainly throughout the summer. But now you're the number one team in the country preseason. The bullseye's kind of squarely on your back. So how do you go about, hey, this is our goal to win a national title? Now that we've won it, how do we go about defending it?
I think it's just the same things that we always do. I mean, I think that we have a, you know, me and Coach were talking actually yesterday about, like, just, you know, we have a lot of guys on our team that I think enjoy the chase more than the capture. And so, you know, it's just about, you know, that number one ranking is nice. It's a preseason poll. It, you know, it doesn't matter about how we've played or anything, you know. It's really just a final poll from last year. So, yeah, I mean, just like, you know, getting after it, competing. You know, our team this year is, you know, I would say our team is 100% better this year. You know, we didn't lose anybody. Guys at home got, you know, a lot better. Guys like Bennett, Trey, Harrison, guys that you probably didn't see play as much last year, those guys got a lot better. So, you know, I mean, it's just going to be competing, getting better, focused on our goals, having good tournaments, playing good team rounds, and, you know, we want to win it again. It's a difficult task to do, but I mean we for sure have a better team, you know. So we're gonna see how it plays out.
And one more question for you, going back to the national championship. One of the things that I thought among many very incredible moments of that whole week was the relationship between you and your dad. You know, it's special when you win a national title for a number of reasons, all the hard work you put in, but it's really shared by so many people. You know, and I talked with Coach Maupin about how it's just a championship that the whole city really rallies behind, you know, the country club and people here obviously on campus, and there's just a sense of pride for what you guys were able to do. I remember, I think it was round two, but I think it was at par five, maybe number 12, and I'm standing there right next to your dad, and you hole out from about 150 out, and, I mean, I'm just celebrating with him. We're going nuts. And then, of course, poor guy. I mean, he looked like he was going to have a heart attack on those last couple of holes. Yeah. And then you embrace him coming off the 18th green of the national championship. Just how special was that to share that with your mom was there too, of course, and with your family?
My family has been so unbelievably supportive of me throughout, you know, my junior golf career, and my dad and my mom making a lot of sacrifices for me to be able to play in tournaments, you know, because golf is, you know, it's a little bit more of an expensive sport to play. And you know, all the sacrifices, them, you know, just everything from them taking me to tournaments, for them paying for, you know, all my stuff. And you know, my dad and I have a great relationship, very special to me, and you know, we talk a lot of golf. He plays golf too, but you know, he understands all the hard work and everything that goes in. But you know, he's my biggest supporter, and you know, it was very special to have him there for me walking off the 18th green, and you know, I know how proud he was of me.
Yeah. Some great shots that we got of that moment. It was just a really, really special moment.
Well, Connor, thanks for joining us, and we wish you the best of luck as you guys start the season this coming up week, and hopefully we get another national title.
No pressure. Well, thanks, guys, for having me. Absolutely. Enjoy hanging out with you guys.
We'll take a quick break and be back with more here in just a moment as we hear from McDonald's.
The Burn 'Em Up Podcast is proudly brought to you by Smith Family McDonald's. Smith Family McDonald's is a proud supporter of Lee University Athletics. They have 10 locations to serve you: Sweetwater, Athens, Etowah, Occoy, and 4 locations right here in Cleveland on I-75 exit 20, 25, and 27. Madisonville, and Ootowah locations as well. Smith Family McDonald's. Go Flames!
And welcome back, Philip Tang, Carmen LaStoria back here with you. Of course, the men's golf team been celebrated all summer long and into the fall, deservedly so, for winning the first NCAA team national championship. They got a lot of pressure on them now, but as he said, everyone's gotten better, and that's a good thing.
Yeah, I thought what he said, too, was very interesting, right? I love that line. We got guys that enjoy the chase almost more than the capture, and that's what you like to see. That's the attitude that you have to have in order to be able to repeat.
Especially in golf.
Especially in golf, because that bullseye's on your back, it's so difficult to do, right? It's so difficult to even get to the national championship site, especially coming out of a really tough region, the South region. And so there's so much hurdles that you have to jump through to even get there. And then once you're there, you're obviously playing against the best teams in the country. But you have to have that killer instinct mindset. Like, we're not going to settle for one. We want to go back out there, and we want to try and get another one. So you got to love the chase. And I know those guys, they love the pursuit of it. They love the bullseye on their back. They're going to be ready to go.
Yeah, definitely the bullseye is going to be not just from the Gulf South Conference, but the South region, and everybody in the nation is going to have their bullseye on them. But they're the last sports, Cameron, that will get going for the fall sports, because cross country starts this weekend, or this on Friday night, or Friday morning, excuse me, in North Alabama. And tennis started last week. Women's golf is playing. So all the fall sports, next Tuesday when we record, will be in full swing.
Yeah, it was a great great opening weekend for the men's and women's tennis teams. I know they got a lot of work in, got a lot of wins, and just great to get back competing against other people. So I know Coach Patrick Hines was really excited about that. Yeah, our cross-country teams, women ranked number 10, men ranked number 12 in the country, will get to work on Friday morning down in North Alabama. So they're excited about that as well. So yeah, it's full speed ahead now. And as we mentioned, our Gulf South Conference schedule is in full swing now, with men's and women's soccer starting last week, and volleyball will start their GSC season this weekend.
The cross-country teams, again, picked to finish first on the women's side, second on the men's side. Coach Morgan said there's a lot of depth on both those teams.
Yeah, so obviously I think the question mark is, okay, how do you move on from Christian Noble, who was a historic record-setting runner on the men's side, and how do you move on from Celine Ritter, who was a historic record-setting runner on the women's side? Now, she will compete in outdoor track and field, but how do you move on from those pieces? Mm-hmm. Well, you build some good depth, and I think that's what you're going to see. You may not see, the wow, incredible winning finishes, although there's a lot of talent coming back, but you're going to see a lot of depth on both sides, and I think that's going to be a strength for both of these teams. And, Aria Hawkins is somebody to keep an eye on the women's side, because she is just a sophomore, and she is in really, really looking like she's going to take that next step in her career this year as well.
Men's soccer, women's soccer at home this weekend at the RCC Friday night and Sunday afternoon. The two teams from the state of Mississippi come in, Mississippi College and Delta State, and volleyball's on the road as well. They start Gulf South Conference play. Hopefully, when the volleyball team get that chapter turned and now focus on GSC play, because that's really where the postseason play comes in.
Yeah, obviously I think they, probably would have rather fared better than 2-9 in those first three tournaments, but it was a difficult schedule, and so now you've got an opportunity to, okay, the season kind of starts anew and afresh with the Gulf South Conference season. Union will be a tough test on Friday. Christian Brothers is a team that, although on paper maybe you like the matchup, that's a team that, we lost to last year, mm-hmm. so we certainly know what they're capable of doing. So it'll be an important first weekend here for the Lee volleyball team. And then, it almost feels like we haven't broadcasted a soccer game in a while, because we had that off week where they were on the road. But, looking forward to two good matchups. As we said, the men's soccer team, 4-0-1, they're rolling right now. I would expect they're going to be
They should be ranked. They should be the top 25, or at least 26, 27.
Right. They should be right there of climbing into the rankings. Of course, the women are ranked in the top 10. They're 3-0-3. And so I know for Chris Hennessy, this is an important weekend to say, okay, we're done tying. I think he's a little frustrated with some of that. But that's a tribute to, teams are going to pack it in. They're going to play for the tie against the Lady Flames. So the Lady Flames have to be aggressive, and they have to capitalize on the opportunities that they get. But we mentioned it, Ellie Chrysler just off to an incredible start, 8 goals. And then on the men's side, Mark Eamon with the last-second goal. But really a team effort. There's so much balance on the men's side. I think there's you know, off the top of my head, maybe 8-9 people that have scored a goal already, right?
Yes.
And so it's just it's a different person every night, and that's a good sign moving forward.
Mississippi College Lady Choctaws are 5-1. They've only lost to Columbus State. Friday night, 5:00, the RCC.
That's gonna be a good one.
That's where you want to be. Is the top two teams yep. in the conference right now facing off, because MC just beat Montevallo, who was undefeated.
Yeah.
And pretty handily, too. So that's the matchup you want to be at.
And when you look back through history, right, so they were here when we hosted the South Region last year. They were here back in 2018 when we made our run to the Final Four. We always seem to bump up against Mississippi College. We beat them in 2017 to win the GSC Championship. So it's a great rivalry. They have a very good program. They're well-coached. Darryl Longenball has been there forever, and he does a great job with that program. So it's always a good battle and always a physical battle when we play MC. So the Lady Flames are going to have to bring the intensity. They're going to have to bring the energy from the opening kick. But, yeah, I'm excited. We'll be on the call for it at 5 o'clock on the Lady Flame Sports Network. So it's going to be a great night of soccer.
Before we go, as always, our fired up moment of the week. Carmen, what was yours from this past weekend?
Oh, I got to go with Mark Eamon, right? I mean, yes. You don't get many buzzer beaters in soccer, just the nature of the sport. So when you score in the 89th minute like that to really steal the victory, you know, it looked like that was going to be a draw and the Flames find a way to get the win. That was my fired up moment.
I'll go with Ellie Chrysler's second goal.
There you go.
More of the individual effort. And you know it's a good goal when Coach Hennessy tells you after the game, that was a special goal. So you know that was a good goal when your coach tells you that afterwards.
And an important goal, right?
Yes,
because otherwise they were staring down the barrel of maybe two ties mm-hmm. that weekend. So that was a big moment. Caveat here, an additional fired up moment was a 58-yard game-winning field goal by Cade York to give the Cleveland Browns their yes, first yes. week one victory since I was a freshman at Lee in 2004, Tang. So I've got to throw that in there. I know this yes. is Burn 'em Up and we're talking about Lee, but
for you, for personally.
Personally.
For that was you personally for your fired up moment
yes.
of the week. That's episode 4 in the books. Our thanks to Connor Pullman for joining us. We'll be back next week with episode number 5. We thank you for joining us and thank you for tuning in each week. As always, we are brought to you by McDonald's. For Carmen LaStoria, I'm Philip Tang. We'll see you next week.